Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. If you have a Bible question or some troublesome issue you'd like to discuss, the lines are open for you right now at 24 hours a day, as a matter of fact, at 844-322-2742. If you're hearing the broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time, it is Basic Gospel Live, and you can speak directly with us right now, again in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Let's talk about it right now, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Just wanted to make a note about our latest YouTube video we just uploaded this morning. It's a video about anger. How can I control my anger? Why am I angry all the time? And what can I do about that? And there's lots of information out there on the internet on how to manage anger, and there's lots of tricks and techniques and tips. And but this particular video really is a biblical look at why we get angry, what are the underlying causes, and how the Word of God, how the love of God is the corrective measure for that particular emotion. I mean, all of us get angry. A car Sure. cuts in front of us. We're going to get angry about that. I get angry when I don't hit a good shot on the golf course. It just happens. I don't know why. It just happens that way. So that's part of the human experience. But as Paul said in Ephesians 4, be angry and yet do not sin. We don't have to let anger be the controlling factor in how we act and react to the situations that we encounter in life. So that's uploaded now. It was uploaded this morning. And these videos are obviously having an impact. We got this this email from Philip out in California, and he said, I was watching your video on forgiveness, and this was one of the videos we uploaded several weeks ago, and he said, it's powerful, transforming, breakthrough, life-changing, truly one of the best videos and messages I've watched in my lifetime. Mm. And he said, it's just great to kill the angry thoughts, the evil thoughts, and allow the love, joy, peace, kindness, and patience, grace, and gratitude fill his mind towards the love of Jesus and the other person, especially for himself. So yeah. these videos are having an impact. They're practical help mm-hmm. on the issues that we face in day-to-day life. So if you're struggling with anger, wondering why you're always angry, you have that disposition and want help, this video, I think, is going to be perfect,
yeah.
perfect for you.
What are you calling it again?
We're calling it why do I get angry all the time?
About anger, yes.
Yes, yes.
So we encourage your friends to go there and check that out. I think it would be really, really good because, as Bob said, we all experience that emotion at one time or another. Well, right now, 844-322-2742, that's the number to call if you have a question. We'd like to share it with you and lead you into the Word of God for the answer and or the solution in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. I wanted to spend a few minutes and talk about a passage out of the book of Romans. It's Romans chapter 5, and it's the first five verses. And our theme this month is how to handle suffering. Mm-hmm. And certainly, being a believer in the world today, we're experiencing all kinds of pressure from outside to try to get us to conform to the ways of the world. People are saying that we need to forget the Bible, that we need to forget our long-held beliefs and grab hold and embrace the current trends.
Yeah.
And boy, that's, you know, that pressure just keeps mounting. And we see people caving to that, mm-hmm. people blending in with the way of the world, wanting to be, quote, on the right side of history. But that's not what the Bible encourages us to do. It encourages us to stand firm. And this is a particular passage that helps with that particular issue. It says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a foundational truth, an essential truth, that because you have been justified by faith in Jesus Christ, you have peace with God. Mm-hmm. So you're on the same page. You're friends with him. You're in harmony with him. you're no longer at odds or at enmity with him. Right. You are together with God. So Jesus said to his disciples, you know, I no longer call you servants. I call you friend. And that's what the peace of God is all about. We are friends with God. That enmity that we had in our hearts toward God has been taken care of through the shed blood of Christ, through the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. So because of that, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So we're standing in the grace of God, which means we are standing in the favor and the goodness of God and in the blessing of God. That's where we live. That's our realm of life, the grace of God. And boy, is that good news. So as a result of that, we rejoice and the hope of the glory of God, that one day when Christ appears, we're going to appear with him. And that glory that he has, we get to experience, and the world will know us for who we are. But that's at a point later on in time.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, it says we rejoice in our sufferings. So this word suffering is a word that means tribulation, it means trouble, it means affliction. It comes from a word that means to press or to squeeze. And certainly that's what the world is doing. It's pressing in on us. It's trying to squeeze us to the point that we're going to give in, that we're going to acquiesce to their way of thinking.
Right.
That's the pressure that we feel. And Paul says, let's rejoice in that. We wouldn't be feeling that pressure. That pressure wouldn't be being exerted on us if we weren't believers.
Mm-hmm.
So let's rejoice in that, knowing that this tribulation, this stuff that presses and squeezes us, produces or brings about patience. It brings about character. And it brings about endurance, and it brings about hope. These sufferings God uses for our benefit. Mm-hmm. He knows that sufferings are going to come. That's just the way of the world. It hated Jesus. It's going to hate us. It tried to conform Jesus and into its mold. It's going to try to conform us into its mold. But we don't have to give in. Why? Because we have Jesus, and we are standing in the grace of God, and we have peace with God. And as a result of that, we can stand firm, knowing that this tribulation is going to be to our benefit. It's going to produce patience, character, hope, and this hope will not put us to shame because we know the love of God has been poured in our heart. So if you're going through trials and tribulations, if the world is pressuring you and trying to squeeze you to conform, you may be a public teacher and you're getting pressure as a public teacher to promote ideas that you know aren't correct, aren't true. They don't line up with the Word of God. What do? Well, you allow that pressure to do its work in and through you to produce patience and hope and character and all those very things to the glory of God.
Absolutely. Good stuff, Bob. Thank you. Acquiesce. I like that word, except when it's applied to acquiescing to the ways of the world.
We don't want to do that.
Don't want to do that.
Yes.
It is Basic Gospel, everybody. 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you on this edition, so give us a call. U.S., Canada, that's 844-322-2742. And friends, this month, the donor gift is a DVD by Bob Christopher and Richard Piper called Your Living Hope, which answers the question, how do you stay strong and true to who you are in Jesus Christ? It's our September gift to everyone who supports Basic Gospel this month. So click donate at basicgospel.net and request your copy of Your Living Hope. Again, donate at basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, we had this call that came in overnight. Let's listen.
Hi, I was talking to a non-believer, and she said, you know, actually, there's no proof that Jesus Christ was born. There's proof that all the prophets and apostles were born, but there's no proof that he was ever born. I said to her, well, if there's no birth and no crucifixion and there's no resurrection, then we have no Savior. But I didn't really know how to prove to her that Jesus was born other than, well, the shepherds came and the wise men came and King Herod ordered that all the babies were to be slain in order to slay Jesus Christ. And so could you please talk about this on your next broadcast? I would really like to tell her the good news of how I can prove to her that Jesus was really born of Mary. Thank you very much, and we really appreciate your program. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Well, that is just an excellent question. Yes. And certainly in the last 50 years, a lot of skeptics, a lot of atheists have been raising that question, did Jesus even exist? I think most scholars, whether it's a biblical scholar, whether it's a secular scholar, whether it's an atheistic scholar, have all come to terms with the fact that Jesus was a real person, that he was born, he walked the face of this earth, and he's an historical figure.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few that still raise skepticism about that he's just a legend, he's just a story that was made up out of somebody's imagination. But there's too much proof otherwise to let us know that he was a historical figure. And the proof begins with the testimony of the Gospels. We have four gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that all tell the story of Jesus Christ. Two of them talk about his birth. We see that in Matthew, and we see that in Luke. Luke gives some details about that are very important for us. John just simply says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14 of his first chapter, he says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So he alludes to the birth of Jesus Christ in that very statement.
Mm-hmm.
And he says in his first letter that he's a person that we touched, that we fellowshipped with, that we ate with. So he describes Jesus as a real person, not just a spiritual being, as the Gnostics were saying some 100 years or so after Christ, but he actually lived. He was a physical being. He died physically. He was raised physically. He ascended physically into heaven. So all of the writers of the New Testament tell us that Jesus was a real person. And what's interesting, they mark his existence in a certain period of time. We know that he was born when King Herod was the king of Egypt. We know that he was crucified when Pontius Pilate was governor over that province, when Tiberius Caesar was the emperor in Rome. We know all of those things. We see the places that he lived, that he was born in Bethlehem, that he was raised in Nazareth, that his ministry took place in Capernaum. And archaeologists have found all of those places.
Yeah.
Nazareth is a booming town today. It's one of the fastest growing towns in Israel. And every time we go there, there's just more and more buildings that have been built and more businesses and more activity. But you can go and see Nazareth, the old Nazareth, as for what it probably was like in the days of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Capernaum has been excavated. They've uncovered a house that they think may have been Peter's mother-in-law's house, mm-hmm. the one that Jesus healed. And they found a temple, and they found wine presses and all sorts of other artifacts that are dated back at the time of Christ. And then not too long ago, some folks were scavenging around the shores of the Sea of Galilee. The water levels were down, and they uncovered a fishing boat, carbon dated to the time of Christ Jesus. And now that boat is in a museum. So there's archaeological evidence there. You can go into Jerusalem, and the gates of or the pools of of Bethesda. You see all of that, and that was one of the stories in the gospel accounts, that mm-hmm. Jesus healed somebody that had been waiting there to get into the waters to be stirred so that he could be healed. And Jesus showed up at that particular place, and they've excavated it, and it's exactly the way John describes it in his fifth chapter of his gospel account. So we have some archaeological evidence, and then we have some evidence outside of the biblical record. So the biblical record is the strongest evidence for his birth, for his existence. But we have some Roman politicians. We have Pliny and we have Tacitus, both Roman politicians that both wrote about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I think Tacitus actually said that there was this man, Jesus, who was alive when Pontius Pilate was governor and when Tiberius Caesar was emperor. So he's put Jesus in his historical context. Tacitus, the same thing. And then we have Jewish rabbis shortly after the life of Christ writing to denounce him as an illegitimate son and a sorcerer. They weren't buying into the fact that he was, their Messiah.
Yeah.
So they were denouncing him. So why would they denounce a legend? Why would they denounce just a story that's been made up? No, they knew that he existed. They knew that he was real. And then we just go on through history. We have Clement and Ignatius, some of the early church fathers, talking about Jesus in terms of him being a real historical figure.
Yeah.
So the evidence is overwhelming that he existed, that he was born, as the Bible says, in the town of Bethlehem, that he was raised in Nazareth, that he had a ministry around the northern shores of the Sea of Galilee, that he suffered and died in Jerusalem outside the city gates, and that he was buried. And then on the third day, he was raised from the dead. He appeared to over 500 people after his resurrection. And so we have eyewitness accounts of the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the evidence that he was real. And because he's real, we need to look into his claims and find out who he said he is and what he has come to bring us through his resurrected life.
Great question and a really, really great answer, Bob. Thank you for that. It is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We still have time on the clock. We'd love to hear from you if you're hearing the live broadcast at about 18 minutes past 3 p.m. Central Time. It is live, and we would love for you to call in right now, 844-322-2742. And friends, Basic Gospel has many resources to help you understand and live in the incredible good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Among them is Bob Christopher's excellent book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. You'll find it in the store under the resources menu at basicgospel.net. Again, that's store under resources at basicgospel.net. Well, it is Basic Gospel, and again, Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we had this this question from Kevin. Bob, a little clarification needed. He says, I have a question about the Holy Spirit. I noticed that on your program you give strong emphasis to Jesus Christ, which I totally agree with, yet I don't hear you make mention or make reference to the Holy Spirit. My question is specifically, why, unless I'm not hearing correctly, and if so, my apologies. That's from Kevin.
Well, one of the reasons is that we're controlled by the Holy Spirit, hopefully, when we go on the air. And the Holy Spirit Jesus said that the Holy Spirit's job was to take the things of the Lord Jesus and make them known to us. So anybody that's going to be controlled by the Holy Spirit is going to give praise, glory, and honor to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So that being said, we do talk about the Holy Spirit all the time. The fact that when we're saved, we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us, and that we are one with God's Spirit. We talk about the fact that God's Spirit bears witness with our human spirit that we are indeed children of God. We talk about the fact that Paul wrote of in Galatians chapter 4, I think verse 5, that God sent his spirit to live inside of us, by which we cry out, Abba, Father.
Right.
We talk about the work of the spirit in renewing our minds. So we talk about the spirit of God all the time. Why? Because he has an important work in our lives. Mm-hmm. And you can't be a Christian without the Holy Spirit living inside of you. So if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to the Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just as simple as that. So here's the good news. God's desire was to find a permanent dwelling place. And so the creation story is a thematic of that. It shows that God had a dwelling place in the garden with man. Now, that was disturbed through sin, and so the next thing we see is that God moving Moses to build a tabernacle. Once that tabernacle was completed, his presence filled the Holy of Holies,
mm-hmm.
as evidenced by smoke and fire and clouds and that sort of thing. And then David wanted to build a permanent house for God, and he wasn't able to do it, so Solomon built it. And when Solomon dedicated the temple, the glory of the Lord filled that temple, and mm-hmm. that was shown by smoke and fire and clouds as well. And then we see on the day of Pentecost that God's real desire was to live in man.
Right.
And so those tongues of fire indicated that God's presence was now in us.
Mm-hmm.
So we are the temple of the living God. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that was God's desire. Now, for that to happen, God had to do something with us. So God is a living God. He's not gonna live in a dead temple. So what did he do? He made us alive together with Christ. God is a holy God. He's not going to live in an unholy vessel. So what did he do? By that one offering, he has made us holy, or sanctified us forever. So
yeah.
Now we're holy. He's a righteous God, so he's not going to live in an unrighteous vessel. So what did he do? God sent Jesus. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. So he forgave our sins. He made us alive. He made us holy. He made us righteous so that the Holy Spirit could come and live inside of us.
Yeah.
And now we have this permanent union with the Holy Spirit. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit until that day of redemption, and that is good news. And we have the promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So, yeah, we talk about the Holy Spirit, and we talk about him quite a bit. But as he said, we're going to give honor to Jesus, because
yes,
he's our Savior.
Yeah. I don't understand how you do this extemporaneously. Thank you for that. I appreciate hearing those answers as well, and we appreciate hearing from this particular caller. And, Kevin, hope that's a help to you. I want to remind you of Bob's brand-new video just posted today on anger. Hope you'll take advantage of it. You'll find it on our YouTube channel, and take advantage of that as well. Friends, we have a need here at Basic Gospel, and that is for support for this ministry and this message. We want to take this message as far and wide as absolutely possible. You know, we hear all the stories around the country and around the world about all the suffering that's going on, and people are hopeless. They need hope in their lives, and we can offer that hope, but we need your help to be able to do that. So we encourage you to go online to basicgospel.net and make the most generous gift you possibly can. And when you do, we're going to send you a copy of our DVD. It's by Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. It's called Your Living Hope, and it's our way of saying thanks for helping in the month of September. So again, go online to basicgospel.net and make that contribution as soon as you can. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Tomorrow, we begin a brand new Friday study series centered on Bob Christopher's top 10 favorite passages. Now, that's going to be fun, and we invite you to be here. That's tomorrow on Basic Gospel, so be sure to tune in early, either on your local station, on Facebook, or YouTube. Well, We're just about out of time, and I want to say to Cody in Autumn Hills, Michigan, we're sorry we couldn't get to your call today, so hope you'll call back earlier in the program on Monday. Tomorrow's the teaching broadcast, so call back on Monday, Cody. We would love to hear from you and answer that question. So until tomorrow, for Bob and the staff, Bob Davis, we get an invitation to be here tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.